The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Start your engines.
Race fans, you are tuning into the only motorsports show in San Diego. Your host, Dave Stahl, and the racing school teacher, Brittany Sandoval, are taking you to the green flag, covering everything from your top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Strap in. It's Checkers and Wreckers on Racer Radio.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio, brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you've got a business or a grocery store, liquor store, and you're having trouble hanging on to cashiers, well, Southwest Point of Sale can definitely hook you up with self-checkout. Yeah, I know all the big boys do it, Walmart, Home Depot, and Costco, but Southwest Point of Sale makes it very affordable. It'll cost you no more than what you'd pay for a cash register. Give them a call at 800-540-2149 or go to Southwest Point of Sale or southwestpos.com. 7 day a week, 24-hour day service. If you're open, they're open. Also, big shout-out to San Diego Gear and Axle. Anything undercarriage-wise, Steve can take care of it. Two-wheel, four-wheel, all-wheel. 1488 Pioneer Road in El Cajon, 858-449-5656. And Dragonfly Auto Repair, another NAP Auto Care, ASC-certified, AAA-approved garage. This one's located over on Pacific Coast Highway. I try to find advertisers that are all over the county. That's Dragonfly. Well, they'll take care of you just like family. All right. So you've done a little different twist today for a guest that goes fast.
Very relative, yeah. I was thinking, I wish I could ask you for all 6 hours. I know I can't. Your listeners love your variety. But if we were to sit down with today's guest and work chronologically,
we could fill 6 hours.
Through just his romance with speed. I mean, he's racing go-karts at age 4. Mm-hmm. Decades later, we find him at Bonneville. And of course, in between, his massive influence on street luge and speedboarding and his street luge 100.279 miles per hour. Wow, we could spend 6 hours. But please welcome designer, builder, racer, successful businessman, Roger Hickey, and his beautiful wife, Esther. They're joining us today.
She makes me look good.
She does. Yeah,
I make sure I take her everywhere
so,
I go.
So, yeah. Two things before I go. I can't remember where I've seen it. It seems to me like it was in the motorsports parts industry. Hickey, H-I with a backward K.
Vic Hickey.
Well, that's Vic Hickey.
He invented the not in our family, but
not really. Okay, yeah. So I just
but everybody they never forget a Hickey. So you know,
yeah.
But he invented actually the rain gutter for cars, and then a lot of stuff for Blazers.
Okay,
yeah.
Next question: go karts.
Yeah.
What did you race? What kind of kart?
It was a Margay at the beginning with a McCulloch. Yeah, 101 Super
101.
B or something like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had an Emke.
A
Gary.
Yep.
And his wife built all the motors.
Yep.
And I was just gone, bring a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
There's seven. I raced a twin Margay at seven. Yeah. And that thing was crazy.
They're selling go-karts for $10,000. Carts that we had when we were kids.
Crazy. I still have my Enduro cart. That I won a championship at Willow Springs.
Did you really?
I still have it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah. I remember when Yamaha showed up in a big box truck.
Oh, yeah.
And they rolled this thing out, and there was this big KT100 motor on it. We all looked at him.
They have their own class.
We all looked at him and said, what are you, crazy? That thing can't be competitive. That motor must weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And they spanked us.
Oh, yeah. That's why they had their own class.
So what got you into luge?
From skateboarding, so I used to race water skis. A really funny story is my dad had drag boats all the time and stuff like that. And he
threw his phone away.
Yeah, well, I was making noise.
Yeah,
so We had circle boats, drag boats. My dad worked at Parker Dam, and we had a house on the Parker Strip.
So that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah. So I grew up, and one of our family friends were the Youngers. Steve Younger and Sally Younger were the world record holders for men and women.
Water ski.
Water ski, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they got me a ski, and I started skiing, I don't know, maybe 9 years old, 8 years old, close to 100 miles an hour. And my dad used to go over to Badenoch's across the river, and he'd go find a jet boat with the biggest motor, because every jet boat goes, you know, 175 mm-hmm. miles an hour, and because it shoots a rooster tail at 20. So they would, he'd go over there, and my dad never drank, but he would just kind of act like it. And he would, he'd walk around, and he'd find the biggest motor, and he'd uncomfortably stare at it, you know, for a long time until the guy would come down. And he had the chrome ego, you know, so he'd, oh, yeah, yeah, can I help you? And my dad, like, whoa, this thing sure looks fast. And,
oh, yeah,
let me tell you. You know, so then, and my dad was quite the character. But anyway, so he would say, long story short, my dad would tell him, I'll bet you $100 I can beat you towing my son. And I'm standing there 9 years old. Yeah. And I was tiny. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. We probably won nine of those races with me on a water ski beating the jet boat.
Sure.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
So, I mean, at 8 or 9 years old, is there a bigger ego boost than going past a guy flat out,
right?
You know, on a water ski?
Well, and the better part about it is when your dad says, son, get on that thing, hang on to that rope, let's go. Because you don't know any different.
No. And the worst thing is my brother's three, and he's my observer.
Oh, my goodness.
He only knows thumbs up. He doesn't even know to tell my dad to do this. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. And then I learned what secondaries in a carburetor were, because when those opened, you know, unexpectedly.
Then you knew.
I'm gone.
All
yeah.
So then you went from that, and then.
So then I had a friend in high school that decided to start racing skateboards. And I had skateboarded since I was like seven, but sure. I was big into racing BMX at that time.
Yeah.
And so he said, oh, you should try it. And we went to Kellogg Hill over there by West Covina up there, by Cal Poly Pomona. And I went down the hill, got speed wobbles, broke my arm.
Oh.
So I swore, because, you know, I didn't have an ego. So I swore that it had to be the board's fault. Couldn't be my fault, you know, because I'm so skilled at my first run.
Right. Absolutely.
And, I know everything.
Yeah, exactly. So I built my own board and started doing it on my own. And then Signal Hill came up. And Signal Hill was in 1976, you know, Guy Grundy and all them, it's the first so-called downhill world championship. And so I was thinking, man, I want to do that. But I really wasn't good enough at stand-up yet. So they had a lay-down class.
And that was pivotal, right? 76 for the lay-down.
Yeah, totally pivotal. Yeah. And so I raced in 77. I was the youngest guy. And they had a lay-down class. And so I had my dad help me build this board. They had a 60-pound weight limit. And we put it was 59.9. It was just giant lead weights underneath. And it was crazy.
I mean, would have helped.
Yeah. I was so skinny. It was crazy.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Eating would have helped.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, just for the listeners that may have no idea what we're talking about, this is not like a soapbox derby race where it's a straight shot down the hill.
Well, no. Signal Hill was straight, but it was an elevator drop through an intersection with a big giant bump, and none of us knew what we were doing.
Right.
And we're running elevator wheels that we go, oh, well, that's kind of a urethane. And it has bearings, and my dad would drill it out. And
sure.
I mean, none of it made any sense. They call it the blood fest because it was just chaos.
You just went. So what happened when you started going left and right?
So that, I mean, I hate saying this because people, but I kind of invented street luge by taking it to the mountain roads.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had lived in Glendora, and I've always paid attention to every form of racing. And back then, probably, I don't know if it's the exact date, but maybe around 77, ELF had a Formula One car with four wheels on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And it won by, you know, 2 days. And
right.
So they had banned it. And I said, man, I wonder if that would help us through the corners, because we're pushing bad, you know, in these corners.
Mm-hmm.
So I put two trucks on the front, and it was night and day. And then what I did is start playing with the wheelbase. And I noticed the closer I got to my butt, the more I could steer it with the back end, like a sprint car, instead of the front end. And
right.
So it never pushed again. And I literally could go down Glendora Mountain Road, 10 miles long, 123 corners, without putting my foot down once, to the point where I would bet people $20 that I would tape it on the bottom of my shoe. And if it was ripped, I would give it to them. Mm-hmm. If it's not ripped, they'd give me $20. And just to prove I would never put my foot down.
And the reason you're doing that type of racing, I'm sure, was financial.
Selling.
Because you couldn't go out and buy a sprint car. You couldn't go out and buy.
No.
So you have to get your That's why I was doing karting.
Yeah.
I could never afford to go and do anything other than karting, so I made sure I did the best I could do with what I had.
Was part of the draw, though, also just designing, testing?
I think
you like that part as well and being innovative?
Well, I think it's the best point ever. I literally have been an inventor since I was a little kid.
Right.
And, you know, you have the part of the racing that's ego. You know, you have the part of the racing that's, you know, the caveman part where it's the man beating the other man. But the inventing part and then proving the invention was probably 65 to 75% of my racing.
And you couldn't go buy parts at Napa for this thing.
No.
All right, let's take a break. I don't know. Do we got anybody calling in from Barona?
Not that I know of, and this is not a bad thing, even though Barona starts first race next Saturday.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll bring him back.
We're going to come
right back. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Seconds brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where absolutely nobody treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Family owned and operated, boy, and they're starting to fall by the wayside, but Paul Dyke and his team are keeping this thing rolling. New, used, service, they do it all. In fact, the service department will work on every car in your driveway. That's El Cajon Ford, where absolutely nobody treats you better than family. ElkhornMotors.com, ElkhornMotors.com. And if you don't blink, you'll see Mr. Dyke out at the track this new season at Barona Speedway, which means it's coming back next weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Opening race day is the Saturday the 16th, but practice for us racers on the 15th, Friday.
And the general public can come out and watch practice?
Absolutely.
But I don't think they charge, do they?
I don't know. I would imagine maybe $10.
If that.
I don't know, but it's worth it. It's a little more calm, I would say, in the pits than the first race day. People are going to probably be...
Well, and this is a place to twist and turn and tweak and...
Yeah. Break in motors.
Break in motors. That's right.
You can walk the pits. Just be careful. Have your head on a swivel.
Yeah, really.
A lot of us haven't been behind the wheel.
What the monster girl did last night.
Yeah. What the monster girl
what
did?
What happened?
She walked on the track in the middle of the main and got hit by Cooper Webb.
No. Really?
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
At the motocross?
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, she was okay.
Well, she
said it hit the sign and then the sign kind of punted her. But, I mean, it was craziness.
She didn't get off in time? Is that what it was?
She went. Who knows? I don't know who wasn't helping her, you know, but she said what she said was that she misjudged the timing and she kept walking off before, but then she had to go back and get the cards. And so that took time. And then all of a sudden she didn't look back and here they came around the corner.
Don't you think you would hear them?
Yeah.
And they do make a little bit of a noise.
Yep.
But Barona Speedway, go to the website, BaronaSpeedway.com, BaronaSpeedway.com. What divisions are running? Everybody?
Oh, I don't have my glasses on. Sorry. But you can go to my personal Facebook page. I just posted it today.
But if you go to BaronaSpeedway.com, you'll see all of the events. And
it'll be a lot of good divisions.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. You know, pack up the family, get your motor home or get your
station
wagon.
Still bring a cooler, just don't bring glass.
Yeah, no glass. You can bring your own libations. There's plenty of good food there.
Weather should be perfect.
Yes, everything's looking hunky-dory. The team up there has done a phenomenal job prepping the track.
Track's been draining with all the rain.
And the kids, it's going to be... You know, it's going to be a great event. The kids will be raring to go. Racer Radio, we're sponsoring first place for the season. And then we're sponsoring the Sport Compact. I don't know. I think we're doing the whole thing. I'm not 100% sure.
You might want to double check that, David.
I haven't got the bill yet. But once I get the bill, I think I will have an idea.
Yes.
But folks, if you've never been to Barona Speedway, it'll be more fun than you can shake a stick at. I'm telling you. Bring your RV. Bring your truck. You can camp overnight. You don't even... Then there's not going to cost you a thing. All right. Well, let's get back to Mr. Hickey. We're kind of discussing his... it's interesting how motorsport situations come to you.
Yeah.
It's not that you're always going out and looking. And we were talking about, you know, innovation.
Yes.
9 out of 10 drivers that I'm aware of, maybe back in the day more so,
yeah,
when they had to go faster, there was no book.
No.
They had to look at what they had and said, okay, what is it that I could do to this to make it go quicker?
Yeah, I believe I read a quote that you would design, build, ride, crash, redesign, rebuild, re-ride, yep. crash.
That could be a, you know, that could be a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, there is sort of like that. Well, but you were just slowly finding the sweet spot. Oh, I went too far. Let's come back.
It's the greatest thing that comes out of not having any money. Is,
right.
Is you have to figure it
yeah.
out.
No, yeah.
You can't go hire a scientist. I always say that every rule has an elastic waistband. Mm-hmm. I just want to know how far can I stretch that rule.
Every rule yeah. has an elastic waistband.
Everyone, especially like in Bonneville. Oh,
what's that all about? Bonneville, that thing's gorgeous.
Well, and you haven't even thrown the weather in.
Oh, yeah, weather. Well, the
diminishing salt.
Some mental... You know, competitors that have mental problems, you know, that think the only way to beat you is to send you off a cliff, you yeah. know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, for people that haven't raced, at least at a level where there's a lot on the line, you know, there's people that go out and they'll race a desert race and they'll ride with their friends, which is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's actually probably a lot smarter than trying to win the race. But you learn a lot of stuff about you and mm-hmm. people and...
Your equipment,
machines, yeah, everything, you know.
Well, I always like to use the Robbie Gordon story. You either win mm-hmm. or crash.
Yeah.
And that's what Robbie does. That's his whole life is pedal to the metal. There's no in-between.
I actually thought you were going to say you either win or you learn, because I've heard that one.
Not with Robbie.
No. Yeah. Okay.
In the dictionary under win or crash is a picture of Robbie.
Is a picture of Robbie, yeah. Right. Yeah. He may learn.
Not Robbie.
But not Robbie.
I get it. But I think I've heard.
And he's got good ideas, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's an innovator. Yeah. He's a designer. Yeah. But he only knows... See, he's not good on long-distance races because he usually doesn't make it.
Well, there's nothing on the planet that'll stay together.
Right.
Long enough.
Oh, no. Yeah. He's brutal.
If you want to test your obtinian, some whatever, may just make up a metal, just give it to Robbie.
Yeah, he'll tell you whether it's going to last or not.
He'll show you.
So, okay, go ahead.
I usually wait till the last segment, but there's so much... I wanted to bring up a few things.
Yep.
This is my favorite. Can you describe that picture to our listeners who can't see what I pointed to?
So
you got to put that on your website.
I did because I love it.
So back in 1980, they started a new magazine called Action Now. And then D. David Morin and James Kasmus that worked at Skateboarder and Action Now, they wanted to start a TV show called Action Now Television. So this is at Box Canyon in La Costa. And so they wanted to film an opening, a pilot for this TV show. So the speed suit came from the world championship at Laguna Seca. And I just showed up and thought, I don't care what it takes to win. I'm just going to win. So when people said, what's it like falling in that speed suit? I go down the freeway in pantyhose and jump out of your car. That's about what it feels like. Because they had a rule for knee pads and elbow pads. Mm-hmm. I just took a tube sock, cut the toe off, put it on my elbow, put it on my knee. I said, there's my pads. There's no elastic waistband. There's no rule that says it has to be a certain. Mm-hmm. That's just my pad. And so literally you're just naked in a spandex speed suit.
That's it.
Yeah, going down a hill at 60 miles an hour. But that's what that picture is the premiere for, or whatever, the pilot for Action Now magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listeners.
And these are ice skating boot covers.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was faster than my shoelaces.
Right. Sure. He's got a mask on, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was better than my face.
Right.
And my face isn't the smoothest face in the world, so I figure I might as well arrow my skin out a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a few bumps and, like, noses and ears.
You know how many people tell me, you don't go fast enough for that to matter? And I did this little trick where you fold a paper in half, and then you unfold it and just balance it, and you can take your hands and go on each side like this without fanning it, and that paper will move like this, and I go... And because of those people, I adopted a rule back then in 1980 that I still use today, and I try to tell people. It's very simple. There's no such thing as doing something that has no reaction. So you ask yourself, is this going to hurt me? Let's say duct taping my shoelaces. When people go, that's stupid. I said, well, does it hurt me? And they say, no. I go, then it has to help me. It only can do one or the other.
Right.
So if you can decide that it doesn't hurt you, it has to help you.
Right. And that's and that logic. Not everybody has.
No, they don't. They overthink everything.
Always.
Yeah,
always.
Just make a simple rule. It's a starving artist syndrome. They take so much. they get so emotionally invested, they have no way to decide what to do.
Right.
You know?
Well, and you also look at other people and you see what they have equipment wise mm-hmm. and what have you. Mm-hmm. And then you see how they do. And then you go, well, if I tape my shoelaces
yeah.
or if I form my helmet differently yep. made with a peak going out the back instead yep. of, you know, like a baseball helmet or right. a football helmet. And those are the, and it's those real, the only thing you got to be careful is you have to do one adjustment. And then test.
Yeah,
one variable at a time.
Don't get it upside
yeah,
down.
Because right, yeah.
you start, you change 12 things, you're never, you'll go crazy.
Well, and you'll never know, was it hurting exactly. me or helping me?
Right.
There's just too many ways
until you crashed.
That's right.
And then you still don't know.
Yeah. No.
It's like, oh, geez, that wasn't a good.
Don't change all four tires. Just change the rears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see what that does.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now that's better. I can get into the turn.
Right.
Now let's put some different ones on the front.
Exactly.
Oh, shoot. That wasn't a good idea.
Right.
I know.
Put a different driver in. Oh, that's better.
Ouch. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I'll be quiet on that one. I'm seeing here 1977, 54 miles per hour on your street luge. And now we fast forward to 2016. That's when it was 100 plus. Wow. And you made all those innovations, you believe, to make that jump in speed?
So that board on the top is the board that my dad and I made. And that's, and then the board on the bottom actually was built in 1989. And that's the one that I told you I made the suspension for secretly. Mm-hmm. And so don't tell anybody.
Right.
So,
well, there weren't any rules that said you couldn't.
No, there still isn't. You know what I mean? And I just knew that suspension makes everything fast. You know, I mean, locked down solid hardtails are
never.
So I when I decided, well, we'll go back why I went to. What my motive was to go 100. So I was retired for 17 years. I had one race in between that time where the William Morris Agency called me out of retirement to race the current world champion at that time. And I didn't know until it was all done that they basically were setting up a video shoot to have me finally lose.
Oh.
And so, but it's okay. So I did a million sit-ups.
Did they pay you?
Did they pay me? Yeah, they did pay me.
As long as they paid you.
Yeah. So they, I think they paid me really well. And so they, so I was doing just, I just got in shape. You know, I just started going crazy. And I'm not on this one yet. I'm going back to what happened. So they said, well, we got this hill, and we don't know if you know about it, but it's called Glendora Mount Road. And I go, where's that at? And up to that time, I had won 111 races at Glendora Mount Road. So I faked like I didn't know anything.
And heard some other stories.
Like anyway, long story short, they had me race this guy, these people, like 37 times. I won all 37 times. And then they wanted to set me up for them to kind of work together, and they tried to talk to Esther and get her to race again. And I said, I don't like it. We're out of here. So we just left. You know, I was like, I don't need to be tossed off a cliff for your video shoot.
Just for your shoot.
Yeah.
Just because I
already know what I did. So now fast forward another
okay.
eight.
Hold that thought.
Yep.
You may have to write it down.
I got it.
So you won't forget because I would forget.
Yeah.
But.
Time.
Looks like it. Don't you hate radio?
I don't hate radio. I just wish we had more time.
Why do you think I do 6 hours? Mm-hmm. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. One fast half-mile track. Boy, I tell you, if you've never been to Paris Auto Speedway, it is definitely a bucket list. All season, pick a race, go to their website. Last night was Night of Destruction, I'm thinking, if I'm not mistaken. And we've got Scott Delosio on the line. How'd it go last night there, Hot Rod?
Yeah, it was a really good night. You know, a good-sized crowd, really enthusiastic, and it was one of those nights, you know, you have good shows and bad shows with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Last night's Night of Destruction was one of the best we ever had. I mean, tearing stuff up. actually, you know, good racing for wins, side-by-side type stuff. It was good all night long, and the fans loved it. You know, we switched our music up this year and went to a way more up-tempo than what we had before, and that helps pump the crowd up. So it was a really good night, you know, and we hopefully that'll be an omen for the rest of the season.
Interesting. Who picked the music?
Actually, last year, Don and I got together, and, you know, we decided 1960s Motown, which is my favorite music growing up in Detroit.
Really?
Doesn't cut it for a crowd these days.
Should have had a little bit of Sprung Monkey. That would have done it.
Yeah, we get a lot of, we've just changed it way up. And you can just see.
You can see the enthusiasm.
You can see, you know.
I'll be darned. All right, so what were some, how did the double-deckers do last night? Anybody lay over on their side?
No, we had only three of them were there last night. Oh. The others just aren't ready yet. It was probably the best main event we ever had. One car led the entire way with another guy in his bumper. And when they came off turn four, the last lap, they came around. The one car wasn't on the lead lap, and it was side by side. It was like three abreast. They crossed the line with the two guys on the outside fighting for the lead.
No kidding. And
it wasn't a photo finish, but it was like one by like a fender.
Wow. That had to be, man, I bet the fans were going crazy.
Yeah, they did. You know, they got a lot of that all night long. The demo cross main was, they tore some stuff up big time.
Mm.
You know, I'd hate to be a member of the track crew picking out laughing. Yeah, exactly.
What'd you have out there, boats?
Boats? I don't recall seeing any jet skis. There were boats out there. There was, you know, the big track earth mover tires. 55-gallon drums of water.
Ouch. You hit those, that'll get your attention.
I'd rather hit those than heavy equipment tire, though.
Yes.
Well, that's without a doubt.
You know, it was one of those nights where one of those tires in the figure eight race, somebody hit one of those tires, went sailing across the infield, and it stopped when it hit the front end of our tow truck.
Oh no.
Didn't hurt it, but.
Now, see, tow truck drivers need to know to hide behind things.
Well, they were sitting and standing in the back of the truck and saw it coming.
Well, I bet they won't park there again.
Yeah, they'll probably take some caution or we'll put up a barrier.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, that's why I say most tow trucks get behind a barrier of some kind.
They have to be able to take off fast, though. I don't know.
They were a long ways away, actually. About as far back as the infield as you can get from the track. So.
And the guy still found him.
Yeah, the tire went a long way and hit him. By the time it got to him,
it was a tire that hit him, not the driver.
No, yeah, just the tire.
Oh my God, he had to punt that. He must have punted the hell out of that tire.
Well, he was sitting still. The tow truck was sitting.
No. But I mean, the guy must have hit that tire so hard because those are big tires.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. By the time it got to them, you know, I mean, you wouldn't want to stand in front of it to knock it down.
No.
Damage. Put a fill full of concrete and you won't be able to move it, so look at the other way, you know?
Yeah, well, there's that, too. But then they'll be bouncing back into the track, and who knows, you know, who's going to deal with what. Anybody, you got any winners that you can talk about?
Winners, Michael Shatley won the figure eight race. They've been racing. That family name goes back to Ascot.
Yeah.
Figure eight race, another guy. He actually raced at Ascot himself. Earl Cox won that. The mini stocks, it's a car that's really popular out there. It's called the Hot Wheels car. Mm. And the driver is named Chris Martin. So that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The double deckers, you know, I don't have the names off the top of my head because they switched those a lot, but it was a car called the Hot Diggity Dodge. Which it came along, I don't remember when it came along last year, but it's pretty much a perfect record since it got there.
Wow.
And the a guy named Wayland, I forget his last name, won the actually demo cross main event.
Is that older gentleman out there that's got enough bars around his car you can't tell what it is?
No, he hasn't raced in a couple of years. He did sell the car.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't there last night, but I know he did race there last year, but he's usually there.
Yeah. How old was he when he quit racing? Wasn't he in his 70s?
He was in his 80s.
What?
He was in his 80s.
80 years old.
80s. I think he was over 80.
Good Lord Almighty. I got a guy in studio that's probably going to do that too, so I have no fear.
Hopefully.
Yep.
I have one question about these double-deckers. So can you mount the one on top upside down, so if you flip over, you can just keep going.
Oh, nice.
Now, there's a thought.
You probably shouldn't have suggested that.
But see, that's the problem with this guy. Everything he looks at, he mentally picks it apart and tries to figure out. But you know what? That's not a bad
Did
idea.
Did they have one backwards, though?
They've had them backwards.
We had a guy, the thing finally got destroyed last year when it flipped. But they had a Lincoln on the bottom, like a 1985 Lincoln. And on top, they had a PT Cruiser.
Yeah, I met
but
those
it was
guys.
Mounted backwards.
Right.
The guy on top was actually looking out the back window and steering.
Right.
Looking
That's
out a the St. Bernard and a PT Chihuahua. Cruiser.
Yeah. Well, but the guy on top steers, and the guy on the bottom has gas and brake with no communication.
Not supposed to.
Well, yeah. But
the guy flipped. One of the guys flipped one night, and he got out of the car, and he left his helmet in the car, and somebody saw the radio hanging out of it.
That's no fun.
So it's like the offshore boat guys, where you got the throttle man over there,
right?
And the guy steering over there,
exactly. Yeah. But this, have you ever been to Paris?
I have. I love it.
It's an amazing.
Oh,
track.
It's an amazing track.
They do. Yeah. They do so. It reminds me of Joey Chitwood.
Yeah, I
back
love
in
it.
The day.
Yeah. You know, I always wondered. Okay, so I'm a huge Cletus McFarland fan, and. The reason I'm such a huge fan of him is because I love that there's kids still doing this. You know, kid, he bought his own racetrack, and, you know, he's a huge influencer now, but he's teaching everybody drag racing and circle racing and all this stuff. But a track like Paris, I always think, well, that's a perfect track to follow his model, where, I mean, they're doing big shows out
don't
there.
Don't give Don any more ideas. Poor Scott can't handle it.
You know, we actually had last night also, there was a car there that the Netflix show Car Masters Rust to Riches.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They actually built a car and entered it in the demo cross last night.
How did it do?
You know, it's a pretty fast car. It finished second in the heat race, came from near the back in the main event. It got demoed.
Oh.
Is that going to be a series?
For the end of the main event.
Is that going to be a series on their show, you think?
It's going to be an episode. They were there shooting it last night.
That's right. Cool.
Which is always a great, you know, it's a great advertisement for the racetrack.
Let us know when it's going to be on. If you know when it's going to air, I think we should help promote that.
We will definitely promote it.
That's the biggest way to advertise right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. So what's coming up next?
You know, we got sprint cars coming back this next Saturday night. And shout out, Braden Chiaramonte won his first full size sprint car last night in Imperial Valley. So
I am not surprised.
There.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
16 years old, or actually 17 now.
Yeah, he's 17.
Turned 17 a couple weeks ago. Kid's got a boatload of talent. He'll be there next Saturday night.
Right on.
Have Ricky Lewis is going to be there still. The guy won more 410 main events than anybody in the country last year. Austin Williams, Eddie Tafoya Jr. So it's going to be another good race. Tommy Malcolm, who will get on the show sooner or later. I try, and he's always busy.
Sure.
So we got sprint cars and three divisions of sprint cars, all the young guns there, along with the senior sprints. I should say the gas chassis young guns. You had Stan Sexton on the show about that. And then we're going to have a couple of classes of stock cars. Street stock's back for the second time this year. And it'll be the first time the factory stocks are going to be out. So we had a great main event, the first sprint car race of the year. Actually, the street stock main was really good, too. So we expect hopefully more of the same.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I'm glad to see the season's really starting out, you know, with a lot of fans in the stands and a lot of cars in the pits.
Yeah, you know, we had a lot of guys. I was kind of worried going into last night because just watching the chatter on social media, I heard a lot of guys saying, you know, we're not quite ready yet. And other guys were saying, well, we haven't raced since our last race was last October. What do you mean you're not ready?
Come on, get
always
going.
The same story. I think I'm picking my car up on the way to practice next Friday.
Oh, you don't even have it at the home yet?
I don't have it. The reason is funny, a bachelor party. It's not quite done because the Darrens are off in Vegas.
Your car had to go to a bachelor party?
Well, the guy who was tweaking on it.
Had to go to a bachelor party. Yeah. Well, priorities.
It'll be ready for race day, but yeah, we all have our reasons/excuses.
So, by the way, just so you all know, Scott, where was I at? Breakfast or something, and I was promoting your track, And somebody had mentioned to me that Paris was going to close. And I says, well, where did you ever hear that? He said, oh, yeah, they're having issues with the water. I go, no.
They must not listen to our show.
And that's exactly what I told him. I said, no, there's nothing wrong with the track. It's running. It's going to run all season. It's going to be strong. It's just might somewhere down the road there might be a little issue getting in and out.
We've got 14 or 15 years on the lease.
Yeah, so they can't mess with you.
And it's like, the only thing, and people don't understand. I understand. I mean, they don't get it. They hear the bad news and say Paris, and they think it's like, well, they're going to close. And it's never been the subject. It's never going to close. It's just if they ever do this job they're talking about, it'll just be an inconvenience getting in and out, a little bit of an inconvenience. Right. But like a this whole thing started, I want to say, I could be wrong, it was like 2013. They have not started it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. In 15 years, you won't need water anyway because they're going to be electric sprint cars. You can't use water on those.
Don't get him started. Whatever you do, don't get him started.
Yeah.
Electric sprint cars on a watered-down dirt truck.
That's right.
There you go. That'll be sparky. Well, hey, I don't hear the dogs tonight.
I know.
Today,
they're
what's
so
going
well
on?
Behaved.
Believe me, they're all right three laying by my feet. So.
Scott, always good talking to you. So I'm glad you had such a successful race last night. Next weekend, folks, Paris Auto Speedway, be there or be square.
Thank you much.
All right, take care, buddy. All right, when we come back, we got a lot more.
Oh,
we're going to talk
so
with our
much.
Guest right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
I'm going to make it tonight. This is going to work.
Normally,
the show's over and we still got eight laps to go.
Yes.
All right. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. Not only will they work on your car, tune it up, oil changes, whatever, but they got a dyno so they can make sure it goes fast. Certified Car Clinic. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net. CertifiedCarCare.net. 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. And Weather Machine, if you've got air conditioning or heating and you don't have them come out and do a yearly inspection just to make sure you're in good shape, you could end up with a very costly problem when it breaks. Try to be proactive, not reactive. Go to Weather Machine, family-owned and operated, three generations. That's Weather Machines with an S, weathermachineswithans.net, 619-443-9974. All right.
Yeah, I know what I want to start with.
Well, go ahead.
But if we save room, then maybe we could talk about your friendship with Gail Webb, or antics that led to not being part of the X Games, or your 365-day goal, which was amazing. But let's start with the Olympics.
All right. So we started getting, there was no text message and all that stuff back then. So we started getting phone calls.
Give us a year.
92. We started getting phone calls in 92, and I guess I think it was synchronized swimming was an exhibition sport, and everybody complained and said it's not a real sport. And
I looked at your wife. Really?
Okay. Yeah. So what they did is the IOC decided they were going to come up with 15 sports in between the Olympics instead of exhibition, and they would debut. So you'd still be IOC medals, still opening ceremony, all the stuff, right? And this was going to be the first time they did it. So they kept writing us and calling us, and I was like, there's no Olympics in 93. You know, I mean, that's not going to happen. And so we kind of just ignored it. And then this French guy calls me. I almost think it was Juan Samaranch himself. And I go, come on, man. There's no. And then when I hung up, I told my friends, I go, some French guy called. And then we started thinking, maybe it's real. And
oh,
so they said that there was like 30 or more skaters that it was stand up, not street luge. They said like 30 or more skaters that would not go if I didn't go. And so I said, all right, well, let's go. So we had Hyper Wheels and Madrid and Vans and
those are big sponsors.
Tracker trucks all help pay for us to get there. We got there. And
where's there?
It's in Saint-Lary-Soulan, France. So we were going to race from down the Pyrenees from Spain to France. And so we I remember that. I remember we were so the exact typical American that everybody hates.
Oh.
And so we showed up with, I showed up with 15 bags of stuff that I was just going to sell, right? Because that's what Americans did. Mm. And so long story short, we get there. We're like, damn, it's real. We see this Russian guy in the airport that has a pillowcase. Remember, Russia just disbanded then. So he had a pillowcase and it had a USSR thing with a marker on it. And I saw a Black Knight oak board in his bag. And I looked at my best friend, Bo, and I said, that's our competition? I go, seriously? We don't even need to wake up for that one. Oh, and I, because this is a pivotal point in my life, I remember every second. And so we get checked in. Of course, I demanded that we had a condo and we weren't staying in the youth hostel with everybody else.
The word demanded.
Because if 30 people weren't going to show up without me, then I'm just going to get what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just who I was at that time. And so we get our place. Everybody else is in the youth hostel. We go to the cafeteria. There's like a million people in there. And we're being knuckleheads. And all of a sudden, Bo's across from me and he looks up over my head, like something tall behind my head. And I turn around and there's this guy. And he's from Switzerland, I think, and he's asked if I'm Roger Hickey. I said, yeah, and he says he practiced for 3 years and he's going to beat me. And I'm like,
okay.
Geez, we should have practiced because this guy has a uniform on and everybody else has uniforms except for us. So then we decided the uniform was Levi's, American, and a Roger Hickey t-shirt on everybody.
All right.
Because you brought
because
bags
I
and
brought
bags,
bags of shirts that had an American flag with a picture of me. So that was our uniform. So anyway, so then when he walked away, I feel somebody out of the corner of my eye and I look up and it's the Russian guy from the airport, right? And I'm like, I go, can I help you? And he goes, are you Roger Hickey? And I go, yeah. And he goes, could you sign? You know, and I go, of course. And I clearly remember in my head, of course you want my signature. Like, I clearly remember this, right? He goes in his wallet and he pulls out this piece of paper that was a centerfold that I was in a magazine that's, I think, 11 years old. And there's ink lines. So it's folded for so long that the ink's gone. And it was like God or whatever super being there is came down and punched me in the forehead so bad and said, you are the biggest a-hole on the planet. And I literally, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, how long have you had this in your wallet? He goes, oh, since magazine, I knew someday I'd see you or I'd meet you. And I'm like, what?
How would you know that?
I at that moment, I was never the same person again, ever.
Whole new world.
I literally spent the rest of my time when we were there training him. I gave him my backup board. Bo gave him shoes. We gave him a speed suit. We moved him in with us. All he wanted to do was qualify. We got him qualified all the way. And he was crying. He went out and made this plate holder or hot plate holder thing for me up with hot glue gun. I'm like, you don't have to make me anything. Yeah. I don't need anything. And I've never.
I got everything in my bag.
You never do.
We gave it all away. Yeah. We never sold one piece. So I literally, that exact moment changed my entire life. So winning the gold medal is great. But that moment is the moment that changed my entire life.
That's the true gold medal.
Not being,
and you know how we can tell? Because you didn't say anything about winning a gold medal.
Yeah, that was at the end.
You didn't even mention it. It's just a side note.
Yeah, it is a side note, actually. You know, it was, I was never the same again. I mean,
it's a Burt Monroe story.
Yeah, it is.
World's fastest Indian.
Yeah, it is. I found so much satisfaction out of not being that guy.
Yeah.
So this must have all happened after the Hickey ladies tank top.
Oh no!
Story.
No.
So there was a little bit of that left.
We still had it. You mean the Hickey chicks?
I
had my own bleachers, and the only way the girls could sit in my own bleachers was they had to have a Hickey chick shirt on.
But whose girlfriend sat there?
Biker Sherlock's.
His rivalry. The girlfriend of his rival wanted the
she wanted
cute
to sit in the bleachers.
Little tank top, and he said, "Sure, but you got to sit in my bleachers."
This is
where it was biker.
Biker
or biter.
Yeah, biker sure.
Yeah. You later called him biker.
You written a book?
No, but I could.
Yes.
Don't start with
please.
Me.
Yeah.
Next time, I'm going to bug the snot out of you until you do, because you know why? You everything is memory. You got it right because you're going to. I'm telling you.
Yeah. And so this is a natural segue to Gail Webb, speaking of, you know, writing books and film and stuff. You know her. You know her well.
I've known her pretty much my whole life. She's one of the greatest people ever. I mean,
inspirational.
Yeah, I mean, no matter how many accolades they give her, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
We've had her here a couple of times. Yeah, she fell in love the first time we met her.
She's amazing. Yeah. I mean, her energy is unbelievable. I mean, she has literally probably inspired 10 million kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, including Tony Hawk. You know. Yeah.
And by the way, we got her.
Yeah.
That did you tell him?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's your story.
It was a surprise even for Dave that Tony Hawk called in. Thank you, Michael Lewis, for
the
help.
She figured out a way to get a hold. And then she just sat there and cried.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah,
Gail.
Yeah. So, look, we still have 4.5 minutes.
She's the Sister Teresa of action sports.
Yeah. Oh, really well put. I like that.
She really is.
Would you like to share about your goal, that 365-day, or an antic that kept you from X Games?
Well, the X Games, that's a very simple one. The guy that was running the X Games couldn't beat me, and so they just banned me. And so I never got to race the X Games ever.
That's not the fun version. That's not the version that had me laughing.
Yeah, but it's a clean version.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the non-drama version. And I was world champion every year that the X Games were going on at that time. Okay. Now, the X Games came from that IOC event. Mm-hmm. So ESPN hired me when I got back, and that's what became the X Games.
Right.
But the 365. So
this is amazing.
Another life-changing moment in my life is when I was driving home one day, and my rule was if 0 is bliss and content and 10 is I'm going to stand on his throat until he stops breathing, so I'm fully spiked, then a 3 is annoyed, on the fence of getting angry, but not angry yet. So I called my wife and I said, look, I go, if I keep spiking like this, I'm going to have a stroke. And so in 2018, January 1, I said, I'm going to go 365 days in a row without getting mad or upset one single time. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to pretend that I'm getting off of heroin, alcohol, cigarettes, everything combined, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do it. And I have no moderation. So my determination to get stuff done is almost a disease. And so I did it. I every day I would text myself and almost make fun of the situation, and slowly created a barrier between me and crazy, and realized that you never have to emotionally react to anything. It's not required. You do have to physically react to things, but you never have to emotionally react to anything ever. And I realized that you have just like drinking, you have a hangover from overreacting as much as you have a hangover from overdrinking. You overreact to get rid of pressure, and you overdrink to get rid of pressure. And so I made it 365 days, and I haven't been over a 3 ever since.
Did it get easier and easier? Did it get tougher?
It didn't get easier, but I had more tools. You know, I put enough tools in the toolbox that each situation. I wish we had more time to tell you the frog story, because that was the perfect proof. So I'll really quick, a college spring break, these college kids were going to impress these girls by ripping the frog's legs apart. Me and my friend are sitting there, and I said, you hurt that frog, I'm going to hurt you. But I had to be Kwai Chang Kane from Kung Fu and say, if I got to handle this, I can't be mad. Mm-hmm. I just got to handle it. And so I went up to him and all these guys, and he kicked the frog. And when the frog landed, I said, I'm coming back. If that frog's hurt, I'm going to kick you. And the frog wasn't hurt. But I remember the entire time I was never upset. I wasn't over a 3. It was just a physical reaction that I had to have.
So let's go back. Prior to this, you must have, like you said, spiked a lot.
A lot. I was, child abuse was not a public service announcement when I was a kid.
No. I got 8 mothers and 3 fathers. I know where you're coming from.
Right. So I was wired to overreact.
I was spiking.
Yeah.
What got me out of it was the United States Army.
Oh, there you go.
The minute they shaved my head.
Yeah, they broke you down.
They broke me.
And rewired you.
Yep. And I have not spiked since.
And what a wonderful moment, right?
More than you can know.
Yeah.
Very few people know that.
Yeah.
Very few people. Yeah. Very few people. And I'm glad you're talking about
chills.
It.
Chills.
No,
too.
I'm glad you're talking about it, because I think people need to know.
And I want to help people.
There you go. Yeah. Well, we're going to have you. Were you local?
Yeah, Huntington Beach. It's local enough.
Semi-local.
That's kind of local.
Thank you.
It's local enough that I can come
that
back.
Far, so, yeah.
What?
Our station reaches that far, so.
Ooh.
No, no. I want him in. Time. I want him in.
You're international now.
I know. We are, actually.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.